this is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. Welcome to our series, Coastal Classical Music, with Brookings Harbour Friends of Music. The upcoming concert on January 8th will be a wonderful start to the new year with the popular piano trio 180 featuring music by Haydn, Dvorak, and Piazzolla. For all classical music buffs, this is a concert you shouldn't miss. Today, Tom Broderick is with me to talk about the music and the performers. Welcome to KCIW, Tom, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, as a longtime supporter and arranger of the Friends of Music concerts, Tom, you must be very proud to know that your work of over 12 years in searching for professional musicians is continuing.
Yes, I am. It's continuing without any interruptions or problems. We were able to effect a very easy transition to Mr. Cady and George Cady, and he's taken over the best job I ever had, really. Well, it was the job I loved, you know.
Yes.
And old age and vision have taken their toll on me, and so I was looking around for who can I find to take my place after 12 years, and George luckily has joined the board, and we came to find out that George is quite a musicologist in his own right.
Yes.
And so he was able to take all my information, and I gave it all to him without hesitation. And now he's really grounded. I hope he continues for 12 years as well.
Yes, he is very efficient, very efficient. But you're still right along with us, Tom, in every way. So we always appreciate what you did for us in arranging all this for so many years. So I've heard that Trio 180 has been to Brookings several times before. Is that right?
Yes, this is their third visit, by my recollection. The first time they came, the first visit, they asked if I had a preference. And I said, yes, I would love to hear Ravel's trio, which is a real staggering piece of work. I mean, it's not easy to play. And they were thankful that I asked them for it because it made them work very hard. And that's just a little sidelight to when they first came. Most musicians come to town and they've got their program already worked out and they don't give you options. Right. Although they always reserve the right to change and play something differently in the concert because musicians are like that. They get whimsical and they decide, this is not a good day for that, and they'll play something else. So
right.
That makes it interesting, though. And they always tell the audience, you know, about their changes and what they like about it. So
right. Yeah. And sometimes they play it in a different order to the actual program, which is okay.
They do that a lot, too, yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, these girls are, they're part of the University of the Pacific's Conservatory of Music. I read that, and they're members of the faculty, so they're really accomplished because they do help and mentor young musicians and chamber music groups, which I think is really commendable, don't you?
Yes, they have a full-time faculty job.
Yes.
Yeah. The cello player is a very gifted lady, and I remember about 7 years ago when they finally got the violinist they presently have. And then, of course, Sonia Leon, the pianist, has always been right in the middle of this unit from this beginning. So so these three ladies do a really fine job. They really do.
And, yes.
You will really enjoy their enthusiasm.
Yes. Yeah. I understand the concert will open with Trio number 43 in C major. And that's one of the finest of the 45 piano trios by Franz Joseph Haydn. I think he was composing music in the 18th century. So what's your recollection of Joseph Haydn and his background?
His background is very interesting. He played with an orchestra full-time, at least sort of an academic year, if you will, at the Osterhazy kingdom, which was in Austria, I believe, at the time. And he was kind of conscripted to play there, and the king or prince whatever he was, demanded new music all the time, fresh new sounds. And so I think it's part of the reason that Joseph Haydn composed, for example, 104 symphonies.
Wow.
And in 104 symphonies, as you listen to them, especially in the 80s and 90s, you will hear how much more complex they were compared to the early formation of the symphonies. And he is considered the father of the symphony. And so as he progressed through 104 symphonies, the symphonies became very complex and much more like the contemporary symphonies we normally hear.
Yes.
But the early ones were simplistic in some sense, and they were, and incidentally, he had a real following. He was called Papa Haydn by his fans. And the fans also did something else that was very interesting. They always nicknamed the symphonies. For example, one is called the train. One is called the clock, you know, to give you a couple examples. So he had a great following among the population at that time. And not only was he the father of the symphony, but he also was the father of the quartet, as we know it today. And he wrote about 75 of those.
Wow.
We learned today that he has also written 45 trios in his composition. So the man was prolific, to say the least. But it was all driven by the fact that that royal family wanted to hear new music all the
time.
Yes,
you know? Yes. Produce works on command.
Yeah.
You get going.
Stravinsky,
doing something for the royal family.
Stravinsky was once approached by a matron who said, "It must be wonderful to get such inspiration out of the suddenly drop on you." And he said, "Madam, composition is hard work. It's not inspiration that falls out of the sky."
So yeah.
I thought that was an interesting rebuke to that.
That's right.
So Haydn's gift is almost immeasurable. It's father of the symphony, father of the quartet, certainly quasi-father of the trio. So we're very pleased to introduce some of that to our local population. Our local communities need to hear one of the earlier composers like Joseph Haydn.
Exactly. And Dvorak Piano Trio No. 3 in F minor. Apparently this was his first complex chamber music masterwork. Is that what you believe?
I've heard that too, and I've heard it referred to as very Brahms-like structure. Much deeper voices in horns, bass sounds. Not the typical Dvorak at all, who normally his music is very light and beautiful, and usually is reminiscent of folk songs in his native country. So this is one of the more serious works he did, and I know that we're going to find it. I know some people call these kind of tunes or these compositions dark, but I don't find them that way myself. I listen carefully, and I find they're really intriguing and complex and wonderful.
Do you think that, like an artist of any genre, the fact that they're going through some emotional conflict would definitely show in their music and their composition, don't you think?
Absolutely. I'm reminded of Rachmaninoff, who wrote lots of great, beautiful, I mean, lovely, sensitive, I would call it romantic music.
Romantic, yes,
really,
yes.
Covers the waterfront with Rachmaninoff. But he also wrote something called The Isle of the Dead, and he must have been on a really bad emotional trip when he composed that, because it's so different, you know. So yeah, I think that composers do reflect what's going on in their lives to a great extent.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's so interesting. And we were talking earlier that maybe the type of instrumentation that takes a darker move would be the louder instruments and the ones that have a bleaker sort of sound, as you mentioned, the drums and the horns, maybe, or
large horns.
Large horns, something like that. Yeah. Fascinating. And the piece by Astor Piazzolla, he seems to be very different in the classical world, I think, with his Argentina's rhythms of the tango. What do you know about him and his work?
Well, I know that almost everything he's written, everything I've ever heard played of his music, everything, it's always had a tango rhythm to it. I don't know that he ever made any exceptions to it, but everything I've ever heard, and I've listened to a lot of Piazzolla over the years, and it's always the tango bass rhythm in it. It's also, strangely enough, it's certainly not really is classical music in the best sense, and lots of classical music has various types of rhythms behind it, but he strictly stayed with the tango, and it truly is classical music, and it's usually a real showcase for people who play violin and cello. Piazzolla has been featured by the Eroica Trio for the last 20 years, and that's the first time I ever heard of him, frankly. He's relatively new on our classical music scene, and the champions certainly were the Eroica Trio. It's a group of three gals that play the typical instruments. So that's the first time I've heard in the last 20 years. That was my first exposure to him, and I've enjoyed everything I've ever heard of his. This was a four-movement composition, and he plays, I think, spring and summer. Mm-hmm. Those two particular out of the four seasons. I don't believe I've heard it, because I know it makes references to Vivaldi.
Yes.
Four Season as well. A lot of composers bring in other themes from other composers. It's not an uncommon thing to do, and it's kind of fun to hear that.
And you know what I've wanted to ask you for a long time? When they say a trio, is it always violin, piano, and cello?
That's the traditional trio.
I see.
But we've had trios where the cello was a clarinetist.
I see.
Or a saxophone. It doesn't have to be the classic setup at all. In fact, one time we had the cellist was ill, and we had a substitute of the young clarinetist, and he was terrific. It worked out beautifully.
Really?
So, no, it doesn't always have to have the same structure at all.
But the piano is really the leader person always on a trio. The pianist sort of sets the whole timing.
I refer to the piano as the glue that holds it all together.
Right.
You know, because they're in the middle of all of it, and the other two parties are real solo instruments, but they play their individual solos at different times and sometimes together. But the piano is always there.
Yes. Now, can you think of anything else that might be of interest to our audience that we haven't mentioned today?
I think we're very privileged here in Brookings Harbor to bring world-class music to our communities. It doesn't happen in every small community, as you well know.
And, right.
We've been doing this now for 31 years, and starting our 32nd year this coming season. So we're a group of dedicated people that really have championed classical music for our area, and we have every reason to believe that we can do this for another 32 years.
Yes, yes, it's very special. Tom, thank you for being here with me today.
My pleasure.
It was a pleasant time to talk about another amazing and not-to-be-missed concert. The concert will take place on Sunday, January 8th at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, 102 Park Avenue in Brookings at 3 p.m. Single tickets are $15. Students under 18 are admitted free. You can purchase tickets at the door or at Wright's Custom Framing and Art Supplies. Prorated season tickets are available also for the remaining concerts. You may call for further information on this concert at 541-412-2957 or visit our website, Brookings Harbour Friends of Music. This is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. Thank you for listening.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.